On a breezy summer morning, retired fisheries biologist Bob Armstrong leads me down a rocky hillside to Juneau's Eagle Beach.
It's kind of tough walking in the stuff over there, but then the sand is real solid and you don't sink into it.
Well, I got my boots, so.
Okay.
I'm ready.
He's showing me what's become his routine since leaving the Alaska Department of Fish and Game in 1984. Now, at 80 years old, he still spends a lot of time on the sand, observing local marine life.
One of my favorite things to do is just sit down there with a chair, a cup of coffee. And
stepping over layers of blue mussels, Armstrong makes his way toward the shore at low tide. He's carrying a tripod over one shoulder, a shovel in the opposite hand, and a camera bag slung across his chest. 2 years ago, on a day much like this one, Armstrong saw something that surprised him.
A raven would dig up quite a large staghorn sculpin, maybe up to a foot and a half long.
Often found in shallow seawater, sculpins are scaleless, bottom-dwelling fish with heads much larger than their tapered tails. Armstrong says this one was buried in about a foot of sand when the raven got to it.
And the sculpin would flip about on top of the sand. It was very much alive, which also surprised me because they were living out of water.
But the fish, now plucked from its shrouded bed of wet sand, wasn't what the raven was after. Instead, the bird picked up a nearby clamshell, which was concealing two clusters of sculpin eggs.
It would grab the eggs and then fly off probably to its nest to feed its young, the sculpin eggs. And this happened on three different occasions, and I didn't realize exactly what was going on until I looked at the videos.
So he started doing some research and looked through scientific literature on sculpins, only to find what he'd seen wasn't well known or documented.
With sculpins, it's usually the male that guards the eggs until they hatch. And what I suspected happening was that the female would lay her eggs near or on the head of the male sculpin and then put a horse clamshell on top of it to protect it. And this seems extremely bizarre. It just really excited me.
As Armstrong continued to observe the critters, he ran into his former coworker and fellow retired biologist, John Palms.
We're both naturalists. I mean, we just really love nature. That's our joy, to go out there and look at that stuff and to understand it and to try to figure it out.
During their conversation, Palms realized they'd both observed the same spectacle at different times on Eagle Beach, a disturbed area in the sand with a large horse clamshell sitting on top.
Underneath the edge of the clamshell, I could see eyes. So I just flipped the shell over, and underneath there was a sculpin with a big mass of eggs on its head, and they were molded to the shape of the shell.
Palms knows a lot about fish, but he's never seen anything like this.
This sculpin thing is so cool because it is so weird.
After seeing it again at another beach, Palm started to wonder if the event had something to do with the tides.
I think they lay their eggs and they dig themselves in so that they're pretty much free of predation for the time when the beach is nearly exposed. And the other thing that happens is they're in warmer water. The sun provides higher temperatures and warmth to incubate the eggs. So I think that's all part of the plan.
Palm says he can't know for sure yet, but it would make a lot of sense. By sharing his observations, he hopes other beachgoers will keep an eye out for the phenomenon.
It's just a wonderful thing to do, and it feeds you. The Tlingit people say when the tide is out, the table's set, and it's true.
While they don't have any plans to formally research this sculpin behavior, Palm says with the help of citizen science, they might be able to solve this little mystery just for fun. In Juneau, I'm Bridget Dowd.